Come out, Virginia, don't let me wait. If you Catholic girls start much too late. Oh, but sooner or later it comes down to fate. I might as well be the one. Well, they showed you a statue, told you to pray. They built you a temple and locked you away. Oh, but they never told you the price that you pay. The things that you might have done. Only the good die young.
Hi, everyone. My name is Dr. Michael Wald, and welcome to the very first installation of my brand new show entitled Ask the Blood Detective that you can hear every Saturday at 1 o'clock on PRN. Now, before we get started, I should state that the concepts and the details that I'll be providing during today's show and all subsequent shows are not meant to replace your medical physician or healthcare provider's advice, but they are meant for you to become the very smartest healthcare consumer possible so that you can make the correct healthcare choices for yourself, perhaps your family, your loved ones, and your friends. What's different about Ask the Blood Detective is that the show is all about taking the large amount of information that you're hearing in the media, whether it's about diet or exercise or mental, emotional health or nutritional supplements, you name it, and personalizing that information. There are far too many shows giving great information, but not enough exploration into how you need to implement this in your life and how you know it's working beyond just feeling better in the short term. So we've got an information-packed show today, and I think before we start, I should give you a little bit of background about myself. As I mentioned, my name is Dr. Michael Wald, and I've been nicknamed the Blood Detective. And that came about when, years ago, a grateful patient of mine saw me after visiting with many different practitioners over the course of several years that failed to diagnose her and thus failed to provide appropriate treatment. And to make a long story short, I was able to diagnose and help this woman's multiple sclerosis symptoms quite quickly. And the husband said to me one day on his way out of the office, "You know, Dr. Wald, you're like a blood detective." And when I heard that, I was a bit taken aback by it, but I liked the idea of being a detective, a nutritional and health detective, and being somewhat of an expert in blood, it made sense. I seem to have an ability to find problems where some other practitioners may not, and I'll share with you how I do that. You should know that I've been in the field of nutrition and natural health for about 26 years, and I've completed two board certifications in human nutrition. I have a master's degree in human nutrition. I'm also a licensed dietitian and certified nutrition specialist, or CNS. The CNS and dietitian certifications are the only two certifications and degrees that are recognized by New York State. I'm also a certified clinical nutritionist and double certified as a sports nutritionist. I've written about a dozen books and I've contributed to many magazines, blogs, newspapers, and mainstream media over my 26-year career. I work with people both in person and through video chatting, having patients in different towns, localities, even countries. I've been a health expert for ABC World News Tonight, Channel 11 Pix, Fox News, The Food Network, CNN, many, many other media outlets. And I think most importantly, beyond my education and my media experience, is that I know what it's like to have been sick. I was diagnosed with multiple sclerosis when I was 18 years old, and perhaps I'll get into that during another show. But for those of you that are a little curious, if you go to www.integratednutritionny.com and search the search bar for Mile 18, that's the title of sort of my story, you can learn more about me. But I'd certainly like to thank PRN because there is simply a need for a show like Ask the Blood Detective, and I'm proud to be a part of this radio station who hosts many wonderful professionals. I'd like to particularly acknowledge Dr. Gary Null, who had me on his show many, many times over the years. I might even have been his most frequent guest for quite some time, and that really provided a standard for me to live up to, and I cannot thank him enough. So who, after all, should listen to Ask Blood Detective? Because it's not necessarily for everyone. Well, I think people who are practically minded should be listening to my show because I think very practically and I provide practical advice. Anyone with a strong commitment and interest in living better and possibly for longer, once again, Ask the Blood Detectors for you. Anyone that may have seen several types of healthcare providers over the years and is still either not reached or is dissatisfied with their current level of health. And certainly anyone out there who may be discouraged and who swears up and down that they've had every single test under the sun, I submit to you that even if you have, there may be some hidden clues in there that require you to be your own blood detective to tease out what is there that you can use to build your health. So many times, people see me, they put the piles of tests on my desk, and they say, no one's been able to help me. I look over those tests, and I find so many jewels, so many clinical pearls, that's the term in medicine for those really important things that can make the difference, that I'm simply shocked other healthcare providers didn't see them. So this show, Ask the Blood Detective, will explore practical ways to maximize your health, reduce your risk of developing chronic degenerative diseases. Why? Because it's a good thing to live better. And if you live longer, that's pretty good too. Being sick is not so much fun. And I believe, even if some of you may be ultimately discouraged because things have not worked out for you, that practically everyone can reach a higher level of health than what they have reached now. So you've been to a doctor, and the doctor says, I'm sorry, your blood work is normal. I know that you have depression. I know you're losing hair. I know you're constipated. I know your muscles and nerves are creating symptoms. You have insomnia. But once again, your laboratory work is normal. Well, guess again, all too often, doctors as well as other types of healthcare practitioners either, first of all, order the wrong tests. They may interpret them incorrectly. They may order dangerous tests, or they simply fail to put it all together in the context with your symptoms. So in other words, if you have certain symptoms like fatigue, and let's say your iron status, your hemoglobin on your blood work is normal, but it's low normal, doctors will not mention that whatsoever because it's not abnormal. It's low normal. But perhaps you would feel better at a mid-range normal or even an upper-range normal. Lots of hidden clues can be found if you think the blood detective way. I should say also that wrong testing and incorrect interpretation results and has resulted in unnecessary deaths and loss of quality of life. And to make matters worse, even in the best scenario, your doctor's comparing your blood work to average people your age and of the same sex. They're not interpreting your blood work, it's important you hear this, compared to healthy ranges. That's what Ask the Blood Detective is about, comparing you to the healthiest, shooting for that, so you reach the highest level of health possible. Now, the problem with wrong tests being performed or interpreted wrong clearly is that it can lead to years of wasted effort by people who are, you know, all motivated to retain their health and reach health. And I thought the answer to this conundrum of comparing people to healthy people and not just average for the purpose of them reaching a level of health they never thought they could would be answered if I wrote a big fat laboratory nutrition book, which I did, called the Encyclopedia of Anti-Aging Tests. And if I took that on the road and I lectured to the best healthcare providers in the United States and abroad, which I did. And certainly that helped lots of people. And I know this because of the feedback I get from practitioners. But what I've realized more recently, and forgive me for being a little slow about this, is that you, the public, are what drives healthcare. So I've decided to focus my efforts for the foreseeable future on you, the individual, so that you gain the knowledge and know-how to make better healthcare choices so you can be your own blood detective, so to speak. So this show is my attempt to enhance your knowledge and education regarding what tests you need, how to interpret them, and most importantly, how to put all that together to develop a personalized healthcare effort and in an organized way. Some of you might be thinking, well, shouldn't we count on our doctors and other healthcare practitioners to worry about what tests we need and how they should be interpreted? Well, the answer is no. No way, because I can tell you from the inside, and this is my personal opinion, that most physicians are not particularly great at reading laboratory work, but even if they were within their given specialty, they're not simply based on the specialty that they're in, looking at tests outside of their specialty in any meaningful way. So I would perform laboratory work in the hormonal or endocrinologic area, in the neurologic area, in the gastroenterology area, in the nutrition area, in the inflammatory area, in the immune area. I think you get what I'm saying here. Holistic philosophy demands that the practitioner think holistically, but as importantly as thinking holistically, that practitioner must have the structure in their clinical practice and their expertise and in their thinking to do the tests in all those areas so that he or she can see the holistic picture, which is how human beings are designed. And that's why my show is quite different from many other shows I'm aware of, either on TV or radio or the internet. And that's why I agreed to do this show in the first place, because it can make a huge difference. And it's all about perspective. I am personally not interested in filling the airwaves, or the computer waves in this case, with any more old-fashioned information. This show is about applying the information and topics to your health on a daily basis in a practical manner. I'll help you learn how to talk to your doctor or other healthcare practitioners in a way that will move you forward, because too many people waste far too many years dabbling in natural and traditional medicine, only to waste years of time. You'll want to continue listening to Ask the Blood Detective if you are just downright tired of being treated as average. Throughout the course of the show today and other shows, the entire series, I'll be exploring ways that you can shoot for optimal health. Well, I posed the question just a moment ago, why should we care about laboratory tests? Shouldn't we depend on our doctors and practitioners to know all that? And I said, no way. And there's a few fundamental concepts, what I would consider the nature of health and disease, that I'm going to review right now that I hope will motivate you to recognize the need for you to become more proactive in this particular area, not just about your health in general, but in the what lab tests, how to interpret them, and why should you shoot for healthy or optimal rather than merely average health. A significant number of Americans suffer from a suboptimal diet. The diet affects our biochemistry and therefore our health. Again, these are fundamental concepts we must understand, and which I will explore throughout many shows. But for now, I'm asking you to take it at face value that many Americans have lousy diets. That's why we do call it the SAD diet, S-A-D, or Standard American Diet. I would prefer to call it the sucky diet, but I can't think of what that acronym might actually mean. So we'll have to settle for SAD today. And as I mentioned, the diet affects our chemistry. The extent to which health and disease prevails in an individual over the course of his or her quality of life, I believe, is due to the presence or absence of one or more environmental challenges. Some of the environmental challenges I'm referring to are in the microbial area, like Lyme disease or other types of infections. There are chemical environmental challenges and physical, of course. And it's those environmental challenges balanced against the individual, what I call the individual's resiliency, is what ultimately determines your susceptibility to disease or health. So in other words, there's a genetic resiliency you have for health, And then there's your exposure to environmental challenges, and then that balance of that will determine where you end up. Now, medicine functions within the concept or construct, a way of thinking of illness causation, which is known as the doctrine of specific etiology. And this doctrine or limited way of thinking has literally determined how research and the practice of healthcare has progressed for around 100 or so years. But the fact is that most diseases have been proved not to have a single cause. This is why I just reviewed this doctrine just a moment ago, that is the way of thinking that I think will lead to the road to health. Here's what I'm talking about. The doctrine of specific etiology is based on the concept that there is one cause for one disease. But I just reviewed with you how there is a genetic innate resiliency of an individual that when counterbalanced with the environment adds to health. And there are a multitude of factors in the body that then add up to health or disease. So there is no one cause of disease, in my opinion. The cause of cancer, arterial sclerosis, multiple sclerosis, and other problems remain undiscovered because there's rarely a single cause, although there are exceptions. It's generally assumed that the failures of medicine to figure out the causes are somehow technical, due to technical difficulties, and that the causes of disease will be found in time once the big guns of science bear down on these problems. But I think we're wasting a lot of time if we would just accept that we are affected by a multitude of issues that add up in such a way that gives us disease. There is no one cause, so it demands we think holistically in our approach, and then we have practical approaches that fit the holistic model, because that is simply how the body's designed. If you base healing efforts in a way that is consistent with the nature of how our bodies are constructed, then I believe we're more likely build health and develop the answers and discover the answers that we need to maintain our health and to regain our health. I've witnessed over the last 26 or so years that much of the research that is focusing on causes will continue to be a hopeless pursuit by and large, because most disease states are the indirect outcome of a constellation of circumstances rather than the direct result of a single disease determinant. And sadly, medical schools teach this doctrine of specific causation so that young medical students continue to look for that one cause, and they fail to see a multitude of issues, which we may discover on blood tests or other tests, that are right in front of our faces that may not add up to a specific disease, but are clues to the dis-ease that a person is suffering. Here is the concept that I hope you'll walk away with. If you accept my blood detective philosophy, that we are ideally born into optimal health. Of course, there are sad exceptions to that, but fundamentally, that's the concept. We're born, we're optimally healthy. We move over the course of our lifetime into suboptimal health or incipient illness, then to overt illness or disability, and ultimately, we approach death. It's because of the lack of understanding of this spectrum of health and disease, these gradations of health and disease, that our health and the medical system in the United States is in serious crisis, but all is not lost. So ultimately then, what I'm saying is that it's up to each and every one of you, up to each and every one of us, to assume ultimate responsibility for our health by clarifying our own way of thinking about the concepts of health and disease. Once we're clear on that mentally and emotionally, then we choose the types of healthcare providers and types of technologies and tests that are consistent with that philosophy. And we have to take it a step further. It's not enough to just do the right tests. We have to interpret them from a holistic-minded perspective. If we do this, and I've seen this over and over and over again, people can use the very same healing tools, the same diet, the same supplements, the same exercises, what have you, and tweak them in such a way or adjust them in such a way within the concept of this gradation of disease model and holistic model that they get results when they didn't for many years or even decades. So let's move into today's topic, laboratory tests, the good, the bad, and the ugly. And since this is my very first show topic here on PRN, I'll be laying out also the structure of some of the future shows. The reason why I've developed a basic structure for each show is simply because I want you to be able to use this information and to hear this information. And if I divide it in sections, I think it'll just be more understandable. With the exception of today's show, which is laying the foundation of what blood detective philosophy is, and in just a few moments, I'll be speaking about what are some of the optimal blood values you should listen out for, that if you look at your existing laboratory tests now, you might actually see what some of your healthcare issues are when others have missed them. But briefly, here is what the structure will be for future shows. I'll speak about the importance of using questionnaires, what I call problem-specific blood detective longevity questionnaires, because questionnaires help bring your attention to things, not just your attention, but practitioners' attention. Then, for every single health problem that we discuss on every show and solution, I'll mention what the medical definition of that problem is and talk about the medical approach, and then the blood detective approach. Importantly, I'll talk about what I call blood detective longevity lifestyle recommendations for every single health issue. I'll talk about the optimal foods for that condition and how they determine the blood detective way. What I call blood detective longevity killers, those factors in our environment that we're exposed to, there's also our internal environment as well as our external environment that either cause or worsen these health issues. And once we're aware of those, then we can avoid them or minimize our exposure to them or improve our resiliency against them. Then I'll talk about blood detective longevity supplements, the use of concentrated forms of nutrients. Yes, I do believe in them. And I'll have an entire show topic, foods versus supplements. But for now, I do believe in nutritional supplements, but how to choose them such that they're tailored for you based on laboratory testing, questionnaires, and trial and error in a way that gets you where you need to go health-wise far sooner than if you did not use these questionnaires, if you did not think in the blood detective way, if you do not maintain a holistic mindedness, and if you were not aware of longevity foods and blood detective longevity killers. We'll also talk about what I term the longevity mindset and exercises. All of these categories meant to thoroughly cover every single topic in a practical and organized way. And I'll have notes on my website and on my blog that you can take a look at, which summarize each show. You know, it's shocking to me that studies have shown that people get the wrong diagnoses as much as 20% of the time. There's even estimates that as much as 80% of practices and procedures in medicine don't even have the proper study behind them, which means that 100% of the treatments potentially based on this 80% are likely wrong. 35% of the time, according to some studies, doctors and 42% of patients report errors in their own care or that of a family member. And that most of these errors happen because of a failure to analyze the patient's problem correctly. Now, the primary purpose of the My Blood Detective philosophy and the laboratory testing that come out of that philosophy is to minimize errors and to improve the quality of your life and potentially the length of your life and to reduce the years of expensive and wasted health efforts. You might find it interesting that the National Patient Safety Foundation stated that 42% of medical patients feel that they've experienced a medical error or misdiagnosis, and I believe it's probably much higher than that. And results from a separate study on over 2,000 individuals in the United States showed that 35% of those who did experience a medical mistake experienced that mistake within the last 5 years. Now, of these, 35% of those mistakes resulted in permanent harm or death. It's also been shown that at least 44,000 Americans die every single year as a result of medical errors and misdiagnosis. That's more than motor vehicle accidents and breast cancer or AIDS. These are certainly healthcare crisis issues. Another shocking fact is that more Americans die each month of preventable medical injuries than died in the terrorist attacks of September 11, 2001. This is why an organized blood detective philosophy and approach helps the person and the practitioner to analyze and improve treatment plans to minimize wrong diagnoses and therefore wrong and dangerous treatments. So there are several signs that you could watch out for that might indicate that you've been misdiagnosed. So if any of the following apply to you, you want to think twice about what you've been told. First of all, number one, you may have been misdiagnosed if the treatments you're receiving are not working. Also, if you're experiencing symptoms that don't generally occur from the diagnoses you've been given, you might have been misdiagnosed. But then again, you might simply not be a textbook, but you wouldn't want to take that for granted. Maybe the health condition or diagnosis you received was based on a single test. That almost always leads to misdiagnosis. I've seen quite a lot in both allopathic and natural healthcare circles, a jumping to a diagnostic conclusion. For example, that someone may go to a Lyme disease literate doc and everything that walks in the door is Lyme disease. It could look like Lyme disease. It could sound like Lyme disease. It doesn't mean it's necessarily Lyme disease. That's just one example of the potential, if the practitioner is narrow-minded in his or her viewpoint, diagnoses happen. Or I should say, misdiagnoses happen. So this brings us to the big question of the show. Why should you have blood testing that you know for a fact you've interpreted correctly? Well, number one, because it helps personalize or individualize your own care because you're biochemically unique. If you have multiple sclerosis or lupus or any form of cancer or autoimmune disease, you name it, compared to another person, let's say a man or woman your age, you do not have the same chemistry. You do not have the same absorption rates or malabsorption rates. You do not have the same genetics. You do not have the same environmental exposures. So it is essential that you figure out what your needs are, and we don't simply base natural or medical treatments on your diagnosis, which is a fantasy. The diagnosis is a name applied to you or someone who might have a few symptoms that, when you consider them together, equal up to this or that diagnosis. But the diagnosis is a fantasy, just like the average man or woman is a fantasy, because by definition, the average is an average. I care about individuals. I deal with individual patients. We look at their labs. We make suggestions. We compare them to themselves over time to make sure things change. Oftentimes, the natural remedies suggested are nothing like what the natural nutrition health encyclopedias say we should give. My blood detective philosophy is very simple. Fix what it is you find and personalize that fix for that person. Your blood work and other body tissues, which you can assess through tests, hold the clues to your current state of health and even your health potential. I'd like to now tell you something that could save your life, something that you may not know, or that I think you probably intuitively know, just like I think most healthcare providers intuitively know this, but they don't put it into play, they don't bring it to the level of consciousness. And it's this. The clinical or so-called average or normal ranges of the blood tests that you get, whether we're talking about glucose or cholesterol, you know, everything has a range, vitamin D, you name it. Those ranges are based upon study groups that may include blood donors, laboratory personnel, hospital employees, they're not based on studies of the healthiest people on the planet, but only segments of the population that appear well enough to donate blood. So, and if any of you have donated blood, you know you don't get a thorough workup. If you don't have AIDS or anemia, basically your lab results are taken and your lab work is analyzed in every conceivable way, and that goes into the pool of the average, and then you're compared to that average. And if you fit in those average ranges, no matter what your symptoms are, you're healthy. That may sound ridiculous and illogical, but that is how and what medicine is based on. It's even what many holistic practitioners base things on. If the tests appear normal, that may be a lie too. Now, through many years of research, I've come up with what I call functional or healthy ranges of blood tests that are based on studies of healthy populations who have a lower incidence of illness, disease, and symptoms compared to the general or average population. So I will always compare someone's lab work that comes to me for help to their average age-adjusted range for their sex, male or female. And though, I'll take that a step further, comparing them to these healthy ranges. Now, these healthy or functional ranges are very narrowly defined ranges. So, for example, we've all heard about the importance of vitamin D. Some of you may actually know that the range of vitamin D on a blood test goes from 30 to 100. Many practitioners, particularly medical physicians, if you get your vitamin D level checked and you're at 30, 31, 35, no mention is made of that test. And because it is, I admit, technically normal. But as I'll discuss in a minute, there's an optimal vitamin D range, which is found somewhere else in that range, and you might feel a lot better there. But this concept carries over to many other laboratory tests, and I've investigated hundreds of them, and I've developed software that helps me interpret how you compare to healthy people, not just average, very quickly and very succinctly, so that all suggestions are focused in on your chemistry. I was motivated to think in this blood detective way and to develop a blood detective technology so I can fulfill on my philosophy of healing, because there is an essential need in the healthcare industry to improve healthcare, to improve the healthcare provider's ability to make correct predictions in terms of your health, and also to detect what's actually happening. And what's interesting is that according to John Hopkins' patient safety experts, misdiagnosis accounts for between 40 and 80,000 hospital deaths per year. We have a need to get this right by using technology, which is interpreted based on the right philosophy. I am confident we can reduce these deaths and also, just as importantly, improve the quality of those of us that are walking around with horizontal, I should say vertical illness, where we're up and down, but we're not in a hospital setting where a horizontal illness. If you can walk vertically, in the minds of most physicians with normal blood tests, there's nothing wrong with you. It's very black and white. You know, while health experts have focused on drug prescribing errors and wrong site surgeries and hospital-acquired infections in their overall efforts to reduce medical errors, the fact is that diagnostic errors are probably far more common and at least as dangerous. Research shows that about 14% of physician errors that cause adverse events like death and further disease were diagnostic versus only 9% that were drug related. So I'm big into the diagnosis for this reason and for others. And according to a periodical known as the Legal Examiner, when they were discussing medical errors, they said that medical errors could potentially be reduced with a variety of simple tools and strategies, including interpretive lab programs, of which I am a proponent of, and that is what blood detective interpretive software is about. So let's talk about medical blood interpretation for a moment. So When you visit a doctor's office, the type of interpretation that is most common involves a doctor ordering blood work and examining your blood results. And if they fall in the abnormal column, there's something to talk about. Traditional medical interpretation of blood work is very much disease-oriented. You know, these ranges that I've been discussing, a vitamin D range of 30 to 100, let's say a cholesterol range from 0 to 200, it's quite a wide range, or a glucose range from, let's say, 65 to 109, and the labs vary a little bit, are such that a person would need to have dysfunction in various organ systems of about 30% or more before a blood test becomes abnormal on paper. That is so key for you to understand. So before anything is obvious on paper, you have to have a certain amount of dysfunction. And along the course of all of that time, you could be suffering greatly. But if you don't pop out nice and neatly in the abnormal column, then the doctor says, sorry, I can't help you. You're obviously depressed. So let's talk about a few more practical ranges. I mentioned the cholesterol range a couple of times. Depending on your lab, most labs consider everything from a 0 to 200 normal, which means when someone donates their blood, their cholesterol could be a 0, which is very unlikely, by the way, and it could be on average as high as 200, which means the average person's cholesterol might fall somewhere in the middle of that range, although no one's, you know, commonly does. I would say that most cholesterol is certainly beyond the 200 range, at least in the population of people that I see. But my point is this, we're all familiar that cholesterol over 200 seems to increase cardiovascular risk. But did you know that a cholesterol value below about 165 exponentially increases cancer risk? And there's almost no talk about the use of cholesterol as a test, what I call a biomarker, which is a type of test like cholesterol, which if you fix it now, it means you're helping someone now. But a biomarker, by definition, like cholesterol or vitamin D or uric acid or homocysteine or C-reactive protein, the list goes on. A biomarker test, by definition, when you fix it, seems to add a percentage of improved health potential, reducing overall morbidity and mortality. I am very much interested in making sure that health efforts add up to a longer, better lifespan, or at least a better lifespan, and not just someone feeling better now for a week or a month or even a couple of years. One of the reasons, by the way, that a cholesterol lower than 165 may be an increased risk factor for various cancers is because cholesterol is not all evil. It is an antioxidant. It has a particular biochemical structure which traps free radicals, which produce inflammation and degeneration. If the inflammation and degenerative changes persist, then the liver makes more cholesterol to try to manage that problem, but then cholesterol becomes the bad factor or the bad guy, so to speak. But it didn't cause itself. Just like candida didn't miraculously occur in a person and is the cause of itself because you had a fruit excess. Again, that's a topic of another Ask the Blood Detective show. So what I'll teach you to do during the course of the show is to know what these so-called optimal ranges of the lab tests are that will give you a much better idea into what foods and lifestyle practices that you should give a try, and then rechecking the labs, making sure you're in the healthy ranges, not merely the normal or average ranges. I mean, think of the average person your age. They may not be the healthiest on the planet. I'm 50 years old at the time of this show, and I no way want the health and fitness or biochemistry of a 50-year-old. I shoot for a 25-year-old, and most of my labs are in that range because of specific efforts, because of looking at my laboratory work, comparing myself to healthy and not average. The problem with the strict medical interpretation of do you fall in the so-called average range is that it fails to identify where you should fall in those ranges. That's why your blood work can look fantastic and you could not be so fantastic and feel terrible. Most often, though, when people speak with me or come to see me and they provide me their lab tests, they're missing very important tests because their practitioners maybe weren't listening to them. There are certain tests you do with certain symptoms. And many of the times I see that missing. Also, I'll see the tests done and I'll see abnormalities and they were not addressed for some reason that to this day escapes me. And at other times, the tests are right, the interpretation is right, and then the natural suggestions or medical suggestions are absolutely wrong. So the blood detective way of laboratory interpretation is to consider the concepts that I spoke earlier, that there are gradations of health towards disease, and that spectrum goes back and forth. And therefore, we have to look at the lab work such that if we're going to detect health problems earlier before they become bigger problems, we have to use tighter normal ranges. So we know that with cholesterol, the lowest cardiovascular risk occurs when people are within about a 165 to 185 range, not anywhere from a 0 to 200. We know that with vitamin D, that yes, the average American may have a value of 50, but double-blind studies, or better yet, a combination of all of the good vitamin studies put together and looked at by researchers, known as a meta-analysis, says that the optimal vitamin D seems to be around 70, such that the higher normal the vitamin D level, the lower one's overall morbidity mortality. But many practitioners look and see the values are 35, it's a 45, it's a 55, it's a 65. It's got to be 70 or higher. And depending on your health problem, maybe even higher still. So let's review a little bit. The so-called normal ranges on laboratory work represent the average unhealthy American, or just the average American. They don't represent ideal or optimal ranges. Here's an example of something I see often. There's a blood test known as serum creatinine, and that is a renal or kidney function test. Now, acute and chronic renal failure, particularly chronic renal failure, is extremely common. It's even expected when someone's in their 70s, for example, although it definitely occurs earlier. And because it's accepted, doctors will see an abnormal serum creatinine, and it's only slightly abnormal sometimes. We're talking a point out of the range, and I'm not exaggerating. And that single point beyond the average ranges on most blood tests mean that that person has lost approximately 25 to 30% of their renal function. Unbelievable. If we consider tighter, healthier blood detective ranges, they're just by virtue of the fact that they're more tightly controlled, they're going to pick up problems much earlier, maybe at 20% loss of function, but not at 30 and 40% of function. So we can see the benefit, I hope, of looking at tighter, healthier ranges as opposed to these wider average ranges. The same concept is true for thyroid function. Most people that see me are pretty educated, and I'm very impressed that they seem to know that thyroid testing is not particularly accurate. Well, that's true, but it doesn't mean it's always inaccurate. But we know that a person would need to lose approximately 40% of their thyroid function before the blood tests show anything. But dysfunction along those gradations of health and disease that I spoke about earlier can be uncovered, can be blood detected if we compare the thyroid ranges to healthier people. I'll speak about this more in a moment. I'm here on Ask the Blood Detective to expose the fact that many of the so-called clinical reference ranges, those ranges on blood tests and some other tests, used by virtually all doctors in the United States are overly broad, they're way too wide, and they're often based on incorrect data collection. They're focused on extreme disease detection, not the detection of percentages of health loss, so that effective prevention can be implemented. And based on the fact that many of the reference ranges that I keep speaking about are too wide, create many false negative results. It's known, for example, that 90% of North Americans may actually suffer more or less from a folic acid deficiency, that's a vitamin deficiency, but only 2.5% have the lowest levels on the blood test clinical ranges. I mentioned vitamin D earlier. We know that the optimal serum level for vitamin D3 for musculoskeletal and global health, that's overall health and well-being, is greater than or equal to 30 what they call nanograms per milliliter, according to some studies. But others that have looked at all of the valuable studies say the magic number is 70 to 75. Once again, the higher normal your vitamin D, the lower your overall morbidity and mortality. Here's another common example. Many of you may have thought you had blood sugar issues. Your doctor says your blood glucose is normal. You fasted for the test. Well, if you didn't fast, the test is wrong. If you did fast and you were told your blood glucose is normal, if your fasting or even non-fasting blood glucose is not, let me put it this way. If your glucose is greater than 85 milligrams per deciliter, you have a very high probability of having prediabetes, even though an 85 is very comfortably within the regular average clinical ranges. Now, an endocrinologic journal reported a few years ago what I just said, that glucose values above 85, even in a non-fasting person, are highly predictive of prediabetes. So I began checking hemoglobin A1C tests, which is a diabetic test formally, such that it measures an average of between 4 and 8 or even 12 weeks of blood sugar. So it's not affected by what someone eats that day or doesn't eat that day. And I did, in fact, find a large percentage of people who are, in fact, diabetic. And the problems with diabetes, the damage to the blood vessels, the promotion of inflammation, the decay of cellular structures, basically everywhere, doesn't just happen one day when someone is declared a diabetic. It happens from the time they're healthy, then the blood sugar is a problem. It damages tissues. It continues to damage tissues. The body cannot manage it anymore. And suddenly someone gets a persistent symptom, which in their minds are entirely new, which of course are not new. But if we had used hemoglobin A1C tests or tighter blood glucose ranges that weren't so wide, we would have seen this blood sugar problem occurring years before. I hope I'm being clear. Here's another practical example. Recent laboratory guidelines from the National Academy of Clinical Biochemistry and also from the Journal of Clinical Endocrinologic Metabolism show that the optimal TSH, which is thyroid stimulating hormone, it's one of the tests included in the thyroid panel, hopefully. I've seen doctors leave that out. The optimal level is 1.18. It's not anywhere from a 0.65 to a 5.35 or whatever the average is for the range. Another example is uric acid. Uric acid is commonly not checked on labs, but it should be. Altered uric acid concentrations both above the ranges, the normal ranges, and below are linked to a number of disease states. Depending on one end of the spectrum you're at. At abnormally high uric acid, some of you know, are correlated with gout, which is a destructive type of genetically determined arthritis, but also hypertension, cardiovascular disease, and renal disease. That's all with a high uric acid. A reduced uric acid, when it's too low, has been linked to multiple sclerosis, Parkinson's disease, Alzheimer's disease, and optic neuritis. And that's according to the Department of Cell Biology and Neuroscience at Rutgers University. The point I'm trying to make here is we have evidence and we know that many tests like uric acid have optimal places. Too high is not good, too low is not good. Upper end of the normal range for uric acid, by the way, is the most protective for all neurologic diseases because uric acid is an antioxidant, but too much uric acid is destructive. So let me summarize a couple of basic concepts before we end today's show, but I want to take a moment just to encourage you to let me know what you want to hear. Let me know your questions. Let me know your ideas. I'm perfectly willing to learn from you as well. That's how learning goes. post your questions, concerns, topic ideas on my blog at www.integratednutrition.com or to blooddetective.com. So this show is about you, your health, your interests, your education. What I want for you, my new listening audience, is for you to participate fully in your life, play hard, live well, the Blood Detective way, because you matter. What is the difference about Ask the Blood Detective? What's different about this show is that I'm going to listen to your input and put it in the context of personalizing the information and how you can actually know through testing and questionnaires that you're actually getting this right. I'll present each topic in what I believe is a balanced way, such that each and every show will be structured and organized so you can hear things well. I'll give you an example of a real individual's case study and what they tried medically and what they tried naturally and how comparing them to healthy individuals made the difference. And also, for better or for worse, I'll tell you the truth and I'll expose what's wrong with allopathic medicine, but what's also wrong with natural medicine and sometimes our interpretation of the details in front of us. So I thought I'd end by giving you a brief description, a little bit of a tease about what some of the upcoming topics will be. The next topic will be about laboratory tests, vitamin and mineral tests, and other very popular tests found in natural medicine. I'll discuss which ones are absolutely useless, which ones are worthwhile, and still other tests that you may not have heard of, which will give you the confidence to know that what you're doing is working. For you to take a bunch of supplements and to eat a balanced diet, whatever that is, if those lifestyle changes do not translate into changes in your chemistry such that the abnormal tests or biomarkers all seem to gravitate towards optimal, I'm submitting to you that you're wasting a lot of time. Some of the other topics will include everything you've ever wanted to know and perhaps didn't want to know about allergies, and I'll discuss the immune systems in lots of detail because there are many immune systems. Another show entitled Lyme Disease Lies. This one's going to get you going. But two of my favorites are what I call detox deception and pH lies. There is so much wrong about how people and practitioners are thinking about acid-base balance that I'm absolutely astounded. You won't need to take my opinion or believe me or have faith in the concepts that I'm going to speak about in some of these shows like detox deception or pH lies. I'll explain the basic chemistry, what's known about these conditions, and just based on that, you'll be easily able to discern what is nonsense and what is not. We'll do a show on foods versus supplements. Which one's better? Should we use both together? I'll speak about autoimmune diseases and specific anti-aging strategies. I'll do an entire show on radiation protection, how to protect your body cells, you, from the myriad amount of sources of various types of radiation to which we are exposed, both in medical diagnostics and from our environment. We'll talk about herbs in all sorts of diseases, in cancer, in health, in maintaining health, in disease prevention. I'll speak about inflammation. Inflammation is a complicated concept, and there are many different types of inflammation for which different types of ways of eating, thinking, living, different types of supplements are specifically for. So when you hear someone saying, oh, the best supplement for inflammation is this, or the best product for your candida is that, you should immediately realize that that is a lie, because you cannot know what the best thing is for you until you know what it is you actually need. I'll also have a show all about sleep apnea, and then more subtle sleep problems like many people simply cannot sleep and how to remedy that. I'll discuss the truth about probiotics, this concept out there that we just throw probiotics into the gut as if they're all the same. If we do not take the time to figure out what the problem is and what someone's overall needs are, then generalized approaches like just taking a probiotic at any old dose, assuming it's potent, will lead to nowhere. Some people will get some results because the mind is a powerful thing, but not usually for greater than a few weeks or a month or so after the placebo effect tends to wear off. An entire show on the concept of what is health. Some people will come to me and be morbidly obese, but they don't have a disease, and they'll say, well, other than my overweight, I'm healthy. I would disagree with that. And we'll talk about that in other examples of people's constructs or ideas of what health is, which basically determine how they live. We'll talk about infections in a lot of detail, not merely just Lyme disease, but various types of infections and how we need to take a broad but specific and personalized approach for increasing our immunity, because infectious disease is now basically agreed to be the number one cause of death and the one of the more severe health crises that we've experienced in human history. I'll talk about the use of various types of treatments like nutritional hyperbaric therapy, something that I have originated, as well as other types of oxidative therapies and antioxidant therapies. I'll talk about the influence of magnetic waves upon the nervous system and cardiovascular disease. These are just some of the ideas that I've had. I want to hear your ideas. So please let me know your story. I want to know what you've been through. I want to know what you want to hear. I'd like you to start thinking in a truly holistically minded perspective so that you can put things together and make the most intelligent healthcare choices possible. So join us for my next topic, Vitamin Lies, next Saturday at 1 o'clock on PRN. Post your questions regarding this show or any input that you have. I would really appreciate it at www.integratednutritionny.com or blooddetective.com. I look forward to speaking with some of you by phone, some of you through video chat and on the blog and through emails. Have a great day. This is the Blood Detective, Dr. Michael Wald, signing off. Catholic girls start much too late. All the sooner or later it comes down to fate. I might as well be the one. Well, they show me.